Thank you, Ms. Clark. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 7. We've not been that long ago that we were here, but I feel like this is where the Lord wants me this morning, and going to be a little bit different topic, all right? For the tape room, the title of the message will be How We Measure Our Love. How We Measure Our Love. Luke chapter number 7, and we will be here with the lady, woman, Mary. All right, and mentioned that last time we were together. Some folks asked how I placed that, but again, this is all four Gospels record the account of the lady that is anointing Jesus. Both Luke and John both show her anointing his feet. Matthew and Mark show him being anointed from his head all the way to his feet. But here in this Gospel, it does not name her. John names her as Mary. In the house, Martha is serving this dinner in the book of John, and Lazarus is attending the dinner after having been raised from the dead in the book of John. And so after being raised from the dead, and so we see all those pictures and we know who this is, but in this chapter, she's named as a sinner, a sinful woman. Now, I want you to picture here, and again, that's not the focus of it, but I just want to lay down the kind of just where we are. This is something that's going to happen, and Jesus is going to take notice because of her actions, because of her love for him. He's going to state that wherever this gospel be preached, wherever it's read, that it's going to be recorded, that what she does, and it's recorded in all four Gospels, and it is preached often in different ways from the different Gospels, from the different pictures that we have of this event. But for all of us, as we've crossed over Valentine's Day, on the backside of it now, again, we typically, at that Valentine's time of year, take action and show our love. Now, can I just ask you this question? If you're married in here today, or you love somebody and you did something for them, again, actions sometimes speak louder than words. We take action. We can tell them that we love them. It's something that we ought to do every day. It's something that we ought to take time. Now, I'm not really big on giving dead flowers. Now, they're really pretty for a while, but when you cut them and they got no roots, you might as well call them dead. Right? But at this time of year, what do? It don't matter what you think. If they like them, get them for them, right? But preacher, they're expensive and they're only going to die. So buy them with roots. They'll take them both ways. Amen. I'm trying to counsel you men. Don't say, listen, if you did it, you can say amen. If you didn't, you need to say, oh me, I forgot it. But we get to that time period of our lives where, again, a lot of times, and especially on Valentine's Day, our love is marked by our actions. And here in the scripture, Jesus is going to be talking about actions that were taken on his behalf by somebody that loved him. And he's also going to show how love is measured. For many of us, you know, when we talk about measurements, again, as a child, my dad wanted me to know how to measure. It's really, for me, I thought that's what math class was about and still till they started putting numbers in it. Amen. When we got to fractions, I was like, I got this. Because my dad had taught me how to read a measuring tape and I knew what fractions were about. I worked with men who were twice my age as a boy, 10, 12, all these young men, and they would say to my dad, cut it 12 inches and 3 little marks. And my dad would look at me and go, because he was wondering what kind of tape they had. Because if you know anything about tape measures, you may have some with 30 seconds. You may have some with 16ths. So he didn't know how many little marks he had on his tape measure. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, you know, a lot of times when we go to how to measure something, there has to be a standard. There has to be a way. If we're going to get on that, when we get to the end of this life, I'm so glad today that I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. Not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus did for me. And I mean, what a measure of his love. We talked about his love being unmeasurable. Listen, it's something I could never do for myself. Something that you couldn't do for yourself. Right? I mean, and we don't always have to measure the same way God does, but here he puts a measuring stick and shows a lot of times where our actions will be. And I want you to see it with me, all right? Let's pray before we get started. That way the Lord will help me clear my mind up and I don't preach you past lunchtime. Amen. You know, sometimes when I look and you're not understanding, I got to go farther and explain deeper. All right, so I'm going to pray that the looks on your face will be, I have it, preacher. Amen. For your sake, amen, and for my sake too. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, I thank you for a Bible that tells us about how Jesus came and how he died on the cross and how he rose again. Lord, there are folks that they hold a book in their hand and they believe it's scripture, but Lord, they have no one in their book that rose from the dead. I have a book of a living God and one that died for my sins. And Lord, today I pray that you'd help me to be able to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to a lost and dying world. And for those of us that saved, Lord, help us to be able to take just a small picture of how our love is measured for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we'll begin in verse 36 of chapter number 7 in the book of Luke. And the Bible says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat." Now I'm not sure that this is a Baptist Pharisee, but he's working on it because he said, "Let's go eat." Right? And then he says in verse 37, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, which she knew that Jesus sat at meat in Pharisee's house." If we were to go to the book of John, how is this lady going to know? Her sister Martha is serving this dinner. Her brother Lazarus is attending the dinner. And so Mary knows where Jesus is, but she's talked about in this book as a sinner. Folks, it's time we get over it. It's trying to contrast and help. I want you to see a picture here. There's somebody who's a Pharisee who's really good at pointing out other people's sins, but guess what the Pharisee could be listed as well? A sinner. All right? But he don't think it that way. That's not how Luke is recording it so that we can get a good picture. It would have ruined my message if it changed it. Amen? Here we go. That's why we got four pictures. He said, "And brought an alabaster box of ointment." So she brings a box of ointment. In other passages of scripture, it says of spikenard. It tells us the exact kind. It talks about it's precious. Other places call it costly. To give us just all the picture that we need. "And stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the anointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man..." Now listen, did you pick that up? The Pharisee did not rebuke openly. He said within himself, "And the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, knew exactly what was going on in that man's heart." He says, "Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered, said unto him, Simon..." Now, I want you to know something here today. This Simon, this guy cares for Jesus. If you were to read some of the other passages of Scripture in this account, you'll find he's Simon the leper. You know why Jesus is sitting to meet with him? Because he's not a leper anymore. I believe he's one of the lepers that Jesus healed, according to the Scripture. And he's sitting at meat with this man. And again, there's another passage of Scripture that said that he's privately calling Jesus aside because he didn't want all the other Pharisees to know he was going to have dinner with him. Because he's believing, there's been a miracle done in his life, and here Jesus sits at meat with him, and he's calling somebody else a sinner. But he doesn't think he's a sinner. Or, "I'm not a sinner like she is." Right? That's what he's thinking. He says, So Jesus says, "Hey, Simon, I got something to say unto you." And he says, "Master, say on." "There was a certain creditor..." Now, Jesus is going to tell him a story that has a picture. He says, "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Now, Simon's sitting there, and he's not thinking about himself being a sinner. He only sees the one who has terribly open sin that he can say, if he knew who this woman would, Jesus wouldn't let her touch him. Now, I just want you to be mindful that, you know, Jesus knew when people touched him. Not just when they touched his feet, but when they touched his outer part of his garment. He said, that virtue has passed from me. Jesus was not sitting there thinking, well, maybe some dust is blowing on the back of my heels. He can hear the woman who is bawling, crying, and can I just say this? If she's crying, weeping in regret of her sin, covering his feet with her tears and then wiping his feet with her hair. Now, if you know anything about Bible times and sandals and feet, they typically washed feet when they went into the house because their feet was dirty from walking. This woman didn't shy away from his feet. And Jesus will tell us in the passage that this man, Pharisee, he didn't wash Jesus' feet when he came in. Let me just tell us, sometimes when we forget where we came from, when we forget how far Jesus has brought us from, we may judge wrongly some other folks. Sometimes, even if it is, and I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I want you to see this. Simon answered and said. So Simon isn't as dumb as sometimes people would give him credit for. Simon says he listened to Jesus' story, and who do you think would love more? A creditor calls in a debt and says, you know what? You owe me 500 and you owe me 50. Both of you are forgiven. Who's going to love that guy more? The guy he forgave 500. Simon, listen, that's the wisdom of this world, right? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Now, let me just give you a picture before we read the rest of the passage today. If Simon Peter, right, he always stuck his foot in his mouth. Now, this ain't Simon Peter. This is Simon the leper. And he didn't stick his foot in his mouth. He kept it in his heart. How many of us are good at keeping our lips? But Jesus knows what we think. And maybe sometimes the people that walk in and they just ain't like us in church, or maybe somebody that's around us and we think a little less of them because we've been saved our whole lives. And maybe you got saved maybe you were like me. I had the privilege of growing up from age 5 to almost 50 inside a good, independent, fundamental Bible-believing church. And I'm just going to tell you, that is the blessings of God on my life. Because I never had to come out of error. I was taught the truth. I never had to live a life out in the world and think that that was just the way to live it up and to live. I was taught the way to live according to the scripture. I didn't have to come out of that. And just because God only had to forgive me 50 don't mean that I should look down on the ones that God forgave 500. Amen and amen. But Simon's not measuring that way. See, Simon had something. Don't forget this. Simon had called Jesus to dinner. He was thankful for what Jesus had done. He was thankful that he wasn't a leper no more. He was thankful that Jesus, what he called him, master. But it didn't. Listen, have you ever questioned somebody? You know, I know that he loves me. I honor him enough to give him and bring him dinner. But then while he's sitting at dinner, I'm going to question his authority. Think about Simon here. Can I tell you which one of the two was questioning his authority? The one that sat at the table with him. He called him master, but the one that was showing that he was master and lord of her life was the one in the floor, crying and wiping his feet with her hair. She was serving. You know who else was showing he was master? Martha. Martha was serving. She wasn't going to sit down with Jesus. There's somebody else, listen, that the Bible calls, you know, his name is Lazarus. You know that she didn't say, you know, when Martha and Mary came to Jesus, when he came to Bethany and he was going to raise him from the dead, you know, they didn't say, the person who loved you, Jesus. They said, the person whom thou lovest has been in the grave for 3 days. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, I'm glad and I'm thankful for the love of God. Do you realize sometimes when we read this passage of Scripture, our total focus is on the debtors, not the one that forgave the debt? And I just want to just remind you today, I want you to look in what he says here. Jesus now is going to, is a lot of red letter, and look at verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." There's a measurement of love. And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." I'm so glad at the end of that. Can I just make sure that you understand today? I'm going to tell you that love is measured by your actions. Okay? But sometimes if we're not careful, we'll apply that to salvation. The reason her sins were forgiven were not because she washed Jesus' feet with her tears, not because she kissed his feet, not because she anointed his head with oil, not because of what she gave or anything that she could do in thanksgiving towards what he had already done. But let me tell you, it was all in the last statement, just in case you were confused. In verse 50, "And he said to the woman, thy faith have saved thee. Go in peace." Do you know that faith in Jesus Christ, can I just tell you today that the person that is forgiven 50 or the person that's forgiven 500, all of them are forgiven because they had faith that the one that forgave didn't know anybody else. Do you know when the debtor, when you call in your debt and they call you up before them and say, "Listen, I'm just going to tell you, the person who forgives the debt has to have it in store." You see, he called him up and he said, "Hey, you owe me $500. And he said, "Lord, I ain't got it. Lord, I don't got it. I don't have it in the bank. I don't have a job. I've got no way to repay you. There's no way that I could bring up this $500. Just no way, Lord." And after he pleads his case, Lord says, "All right, I got somebody else. Just hold on a minute. Stand over here." Calls up to 50. And the person says, "Lord, I know that I don't know what that guy owes. And I wish I could pay this 50. Which one do you feel sorrier for? Like, can't even come up with 50 bucks? Or do you feel sorry for the one with 500 that was overwhelming? They could see that there was no way they could do it. But the one with 50 doesn't say it either. "I don't have it. I don't have any way to come up with it. I don't know what to do." And the debtor, the ones that were debtors, look to the Lord, the master, the one that they have been really have wronged, and he frankly forgives them. You know what frankly means? It means immediately, right then and there. You know how quick people get saved when they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and ask for the forgiveness of your sin? You ain't got to wait for a process. He frankly forgives at the moment that you call upon his name. Now, I don't know about you, but I know this. According to the scripture, Jesus said that there ought to be actions that follow. See, I see actions from both persons. The Pharisee knew that he was a sinner and that he had something taken care of, but he thought about it all in his flesh. He had a problem, and Jesus probably took care of that. He believed that he was a good man and that he had some good sayings, because he even called him master or teacher. He invited him to dinner. He realized he owed him praise or homage. But listen, the person that was forgiven the most, she didn't believe that she had any business sitting at the same table Jesus did. She didn't believe that she had any right to hold any position in that place, and she brought the only thing that she had that was worth any kind of money. I said it before and I'll say it again. If you think that this box of ointment was not precious to her, listen, this is Mary, And she did not use that box of ointment on Lazarus, her brother, when he died. If you read other passages of Scripture, can I tell you why Mary was weeping? She wasn't just weeping over her sin and the wrong that she had done. The Bible says in the other passages, the other Gospels that unite with this one, that she had heard Jesus preach when he said that the Son of Man must be crucified, buried, and must rise again. And the he tells this Pharisee at the table, not in our passage of Scripture today, but he says to them, she is anointing my body upon its burial. She believed the word of God to the place where she knew he, as sure as he said he would do it. He raised my brother from the dead. He forgiven me of my sins. And he said he's going to go to the cross and lay down his life for me. And she believed him. You want to talk about faith that will save a person? Before Jesus was ever crucified, Mary showed up and anointed his body for burial. Hey, that's saving faith. He will go to the cross. He will lay down his life. He will rise again. Listen, I told you before, you know, sometimes we have to be taught how to measure things. I didn't just wake up one day and get a tape measure out and start figuring out all of them little marks. Somebody had to show me and measure things out. And then I could start measuring stuff. Even before that, when I was a little boy, see, we taught my grandchild this. I said, how much do you love Pawpaw? This much. You know why we taught that? Because we're Christians. Jesus loved me this much. He stretched out himself on the cross and died for me. He don't know anything about the cross, but one day he's going to hear a preacher, and I taught him that he loves Pawpaw this much. And that's as far as he can stretch himself and far as he can go. And he may not know how to measure the love of God, but one day he'll hear a preacher say, Jesus loved me this much. And he'll realize that the greatest love that I've ever known in my life, my mama, my daddy, my grandpa, everybody that loves me, they love me with a love that I don't really understand. It stretches out as far as it can go. And we don't all love them. We don't know the measurement of how much God really loves us. We can only take the extent of what he's done. Listen, that's seen by actions. Now, there were actions taken, one invited for dinner. Would you say that he loved little or loved much? Even by the questions of his heart, we can tell how much his love was. But no one in that building could question the love that Mary had for her Savior. Tears on his feet. You know, for our actions, you say, well, preacher, if I'm a Christian, listen, you know, we don't always have, Mary couldn't do a whole lot. She didn't put on that spread. She didn't have all the money to spend to put on a big feed and have everybody to her house. She brought the thing that she had. Do you know the Scripture requires, I mean, over and over again, records, folks, and sometimes we think our actions have to be big actions, but most of the times it's just really being obedient to God's Word. The widow's mite seems like a big thing in the Scripture. It wasn't that much money. All the Pharisees were dimping in more, but she didn't give just the 10%. She gave all she had. She didn't say, I don't even know how to cut the smallest coin that we have in our money. It'd be like you were showing up today and saying, this penny's all I got to my name. But Jesus, you can have it. She gave all. Hey, folks, it's hard for us sometimes to measure actions because sometimes we don't have big actions to give. Sometimes we're past the age where we can do all the things that the young people can do to show the actions, but actions still speak louder than words, don't they? Sometimes our actions are behind the scenes in our prayer closet. Sometimes our actions, we don't, you know, when we give, the Bible says we don't let our left hand know what our right hand is doing so that God gets the glory. So sometimes it's not, everybody else can't measure my actions, but there's one who can. You see, one day I'm going to stand before the righteous judge and he's going to know how much I loved him. See, those guys sitting at that table, I said, if Jesus knew who that woman was, he'd kick her out of here. And Jesus took a little minute to tell them all, I'm not kicking her out of here. She loves me. Let me show you the measure of her love. See, around here, you and I, we showed up today, and we all may come from different walks of life, and we may have different ideas of who we are and who really loves God more, but Jesus knows. You can't tell me a little bus kid that woke up this morning without mom or dad waking them up. They set their own alarm. They could not drive themselves here. They had to make sure they were outside when the big yellow limousine showed up to get them. They had no umbrella. They might have not even had a coat. Their little Florida kid, not sure how cold it was going to be outside, but they didn't care because the love of God was in their heart. And they know, I'm going to go show by my actions who I love. See, sometimes we think, boy, I showed up today in my suit and my tie, and I brought my leather-bound King James Bible, and God knows how much I love him. And you may have overcome some struggles. And God does. Listen, you should go to church. But don't discount somebody that you think's a sinner that showed up today, that they love him less than you do. Because they may have jumped hurdles that you never even thought of having to jump. They may have put themselves to bed last night at an early hour so that they could be here in the place where they know that people love them and that Jesus loves them. It's immeasurable sometimes. How about this? I show my love by my appreciation. You know, the Lord needs to hear thank you from us every once in a while. You know, even in our love, and you know, the love language, you know, there's much written today about love languages. You know, the greatest love language, husband, that you could show your wife is thank you. You know, our love is shown by our actions, but we still like to hear thank you every once in a while, don't we? You know, when you don't have to think about your clean clothes being in the place that they go to, or when the dishes are done. You know, I know that I got this little box. I put dishes in, I turn it on, and the dishes come out clean. But the two things they don't do is put themselves in the box and take themselves out. That has to happen with somebody doing it. Even if we save the stuff of scrubbing them. Now, I always enjoyed the little wrinkled dishpan hands that Palm Olive always put on me, whatever that was, right? What was that? It was a Palm Olive? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I got the right word. Amen. I don't use that no more. I use Dawn Power Scrub. This is not a commercial. I'm just telling you, this stuff works. When you can spray it on and it starts leaving the plate, I'm for it. Right? It works on my truck. Use it on my tires. I use it everywhere. Anyway, so, hey, this is not my time. It was a commercial for Dawn, right? And I'm coming back. Appreciation. Why do we need to be appreciative? I'm thankful that Dawn Power Wash works. I'm thankful when things get done and I didn't have to do them. Hey, don't you think the Lord, he left us here to do a job? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if I'm going to show my love to him, I have to be about my Father's business like he was. And when he works through me, I ought to say thank you, because I don't have power to do that on my own. I don't have the wherewithal to be the person that God wants me to be, but he invested in me. He gave to me. I want to show you this illustration. I just want you to see this today. You know, you may say, well, I didn't grow up in church, preacher. I don't know. Nobody taught me how to read a measuring stick. Listen, folks, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's very, very simple. Guys, could I get this microphone over here? Gerald, can I get that one that they walked off? Let me have the yellow one, because I don't want to have good energy to get it. Brother Richard, could you help me with this? All right, I want you. Now, this man knows how to run a measuring tape, so I want to show you something right before we quit here today. I brought a big tape measure so everybody can see it. Now, I want you to see this. Now, I know how to measure. I know how to read a tape measure. Brother Richard, what do you call your end of the tape measure? That's what, see? We call that the dummy end. You know why? Because he don't have no measurements to read. So he holds the end to go on to the back. I didn't tell you to stop yet. All right, and so when he gets to the back, I just wanted to see how far it was for you. Stop right there, if you would, to the back. All right, hold it to the back pew so I can see how far this is. I wanted to see. We're going to measure the other side and see if it's square, preacher. Look at that, 66 feet, 66 books in the King James Bible. Woo! I'm not lying either. It is 66 feet, right? Now, this is what I really want you to get, and I want you to see this morning and take home with you, all right? Even though Richard can't see what I can see on the other end, Because see, in our Christian life, Jesus is doing all the rewards. He's doing all the measuring. Richard could tell it's far peace. And when I was a young boy, they told, I didn't know how to measure love. But when they told me that Jesus, the Son of God, was wrapped in mortal flesh and came from heaven, and he laid his life down and died on Calvary for me, I didn't know how to measure that. But I knew that he loved me a bunch and that he laid his life down for me. I didn't know how to calculate it. I didn't know how to read the ruler. But they said, oh, I didn't need to know how to measure love. I just needed to accept. You see, Mary was down there, and all those guys, all the doctors of the law sitting at the table, they were all trying to figure out the exact measurement of what it took to be saved. And Mary said, I just believe by faith that this is the very Son of God, that he went farther than anyone else has ever gone for me, and that he is able to forgive my sins. And I gave him my love. Hey, folks, today, you know, you think, well, how much faith do I need? The Bible doesn't have a measurement of faith. It says to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, if you're here and you're saying, I don't know if I believe enough. If you believe that Jesus, listen, came, that he's the Son of God and that he rose again, the Bible says that's enough faith to believe in his name. Listen, if you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, then you ought to trust in him today. If you're here this morning and you thought, man, sometimes I come in the building and I wonder if I ought to be here with all these other people that suited up and dressed up for Jesus Christ, and there are all these good people. No, every one of us are all sinners saved by grace. It don't matter whether some of us were forgiven 500 or some of us were forgiven 50. This is a church of believers who have accepted in Jesus Christ. And folks, can I tell you, this is God's house. He welcomed you into his church and into the body of believers, and you are welcome. You don't have, nobody ought to ever feel like that they don't belong in the Lord's church. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I ask you to do this morning. Why don't you just trust in him? Put your faith and trust in him. You don't have to be able to measure everything out and know everything. You just got to trust in his finished work to be saved. How do I measure the love of God? By his actions. He went all the way to Calvary for you. Are you thankful for that this morning? Maybe you're saved and you're here. When was the last time you thanked him for Calvary? When was the last time that you thanked him for all that he's done for you? While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you're here this morning, you say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I need to be saved this morning. I need to accept Jesus as my Savior. Would you slip your hand up so I could pray for you? Is there one anywhere like that this morning? I don't see anyone's hand. Hold it up. If you're lifting it, hold it so I can see it. All right. Listen, how about a Christian today? You say, preacher, pray for me. I need to love him more with my actions. Would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me, preacher. I really want to measure it a little bit deeper. Amen. If you're like that this morning, why don't we stand to our feet? And as God has spoken to your heart, why don't you come do business with him? I'm going to pray as folks are coming. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness. These that raise their hand, I pray, God, you'd help them to do, and Lord, to the actions, Lord, maybe they're not where everyone can see. Maybe it's a prayer closet. Maybe it's in other areas that you're going to use them. But God, help us to do those things, to be able to measure our love, Lord, like Mary did. Lord, help us to live in a way that shows that we love you. In Jesus' name, we ask it, amen.